gather round. I'm glad everybody came out tonight. As we stand on our neighborhood corner, know that this fire that's burning represents the passion you have. Listen. I recognize all of you. Every creed and color. With that being said,
We had!
Say what?
Now beat that.
Oh, yeah!
Now what we want you all to do is sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. And if you dig it, let me hear your finger snap, y'all.
Now, before I finish, let me just say, I did not come here to show out. Did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
Okay, I'll reload it.
From the sports bars to the stands, we are the voice of the fans. You are plugged into your sports mixtape. This is the Section 357 show, and we present to you the Ball Street Journal with your Ball Street Journal reporters, Steve, Trey, Ron, and myself, Floyd. Fellas, how you doing?
You know, I'm doing great. This is the Section 357 show, and this is like Thanksgiving for Big Shot Ron. The NBA season is opening up. Christmas will come opening night, but this is Thanksgiving. This is where we start to get our bellies a little full of basketball. And of course, we had to go down to ATL to talk to our main man, Chris Wills, back with us again to talk Bruce Levinson, Danny Ferry, and all things Atlanta Hawks. But before we bring him into the conversation, out there somewhere on Camp Creek, I know, it's my main man, Floyd. Floyd, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, feeling good, feeling great, always a pleasure and a privilege to have this conversation and to share that with our fans. You can always find us at Section 357 on Twitter, find us on our blog, on iTunes, on Podomatic, on Stitcher by doing a simple search for Section 357. With that being said, Big Shot Ron joining us from PeachtreeHoops.com to talk about those Atlanta Hawks, our main man, Chris Willis. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, man. Thanks. I appreciate you guys having me.
Chris, let's start with the gorilla in the room. So, Bruce Levinson has an email leaked or maybe self-reports an email that was sent a couple of years ago. Let's kind of go through the timeline of what happened and what the team's response was to that.
Okay. Well, the Levinson email was one of the first things that we were reported. And let me say this before I dive in too deep. I don't think any of us completely know exactly what all has transpired behind closed doors, but, I'll try to piece together what I know and what we've discovered as it's gone on. Apparently the Danny Ferry conference call that was now famous with about Lou Alding and free agency, I believe that happened first. And, of course, all the ownership group, a lot of those guys were on there, Michael Guerin Jr., Michael Guerin also, and there was some, obviously the comments are out there. We know what was in the scouting report, whether Ferry ad-libbed it or whatnot. There were some people on that call that had some problems with those comments, and that led to an internal investigation, and that internal investigation turned up the Levinson email that he had sent, I believe, right after Ferry had become on board. That was the first rock to fall publicly. but as you started getting into it, you found out the more of the situation from that standpoint.
Then my sort of biggest question mark with this situation, and I mean, we could talk about the content of what was said about Luol Deng. I think that speaks for itself. But I think it's a really cloudy situation, because it seemed like this was like a scouting service or a scout that said this about Luol Deng. Danny Ferry, of course, reads it. And maybe he threw something in. I don't know if he said he threw something in extra. But to me, it's a very convoluted situation. So I guess my question to you is this more, and it's something Floyd and I talked about, is this more of an out for Bruce Levinson to possibly sell this team after the situation where Donald Sterling was able to sell the Clippers for a pretty penny, excuse me? Because this doesn't seem, while that's racially insensitive, this doesn't seem anywhere as egregious as Donald Sterling, and something that maybe you can get a slap on the wrist for and some censure from Adam Silver and move on with it. So is there another side of this maybe on the business part that we're not looking at close enough?
I think there probably is. And I mean, you hit it on the head there. I mean, as bad as this is, and don't get me wrong, this is terrible. I mean, this is stuff that for a franchise that's just trying to make its mark and become relevant, you know, this is as damaging as you can get. But, you know, Donald Sterling has, you know, a decade's worth of bad dealings, you know, so I don't think this incident is on the level of that. But I do think it goes a little deeper. I don't know that Bruce Levinson seen this as a situation to cash out, so to speak. You know, the NBA is fixing to sign this new television deal. You know, franchises are just going to get more and more valuable from that standpoint. But we all know about this ownership group in Atlanta. There's infighting. You know, it's never been a smooth operation that's been going. And I think in light of all this, I think Levinson kind of sees, well, the email surfaced. You know, I don't think he can operate without saying some of the things that was in that email, whether they were taken out of context or not. But I think it opens the door to, there's a lot of infighting with this ownership group. I don't think they can coexist. I think there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. And I think from that matter, you may be exactly right. Maybe he is looking for a way to get out, because, you know, it's not a working situation anymore.
Floyd, I want to kick this back over to you, actually, as a Hawk native, and you can kick it back around to Chris. I remember when Danny Ferry became general manager of the Hawks, and he put together the Joe Johnson deal, and, you know, we've had our fun with the Joe Johnson contract over the years. But looking at this situation now as it stands, you were at least 1 foot in the Danny Ferry corner. Has this eliminated all of the building and some of the good he's done now with this situation for you as a Hawk fan? Kind of swing that question back over to Chris.
Well, to be honest, I think as Hawks fans have been for probably the past decade, we're in a constant wait and see mode, to be quite frankly, given where the team is in the standings or where they have been in the standings for much of the past decade plus, and given where the team is in terms of a relevancy standpoint, we tend to stay in this constant wait and see mode. I'm more concerned about how the players react to that in terms of whether they are willing to now come to Atlanta or to see Atlanta as a place of opportunity. We've talked so many times about so many athletes who live in Atlanta, who love Atlanta as a place to be, but maybe don't see themselves actually playing here. And I'm wondering if this further sets the city back, or I guess maybe even the teams back as it relates to that.
Yeah, I agree completely. You know, we've been at the site. I mean, we've been we've been very supportive of Ferry during his tenure here. And, you know, I've written a lot about some of the moves he's made and some of the moves he hasn't made. You know, the Hawks famously flexible with their contracts. I like the on-court product. I think Mike Budenholzer bringing him here is one of the best moves that was made by any club last year. But I got the same questions you got now. You know, Vinny's removed himself from the situation. He's trying to repair his reputation. He's meeting with a lot of people, you know, offering apologies. But it boils right down to, you know, when the reputation wasn't tarnished, this franchise was still viewed as a team that wasn't a destination for a lot of top free agents. You know, every single time they miss a free agent now, if a guy goes elsewhere, is this situation going to be the reason why? You know, we're all going to have questions, and I mean, I'm like you. I think you said it best. I mean, we're just in wait and see mode right now. You know, I like the on court product. I like Mike Budenholzer. But you know, until a new ownership group gets in here or somebody takes up Levinson's spot, you know, we may not know actually what's going to happen with this team long term, franchise long term.
Chris, I wanted to follow up there and ask you about the prospects for new ownership. We've seen some current media reports that Kasim Reed, mayor of Atlanta, has been in contact with Commissioner Silver as it relates to the ownership group. And I wanted to get your sense on just those proceedings for the future as it relates to where this team goes from an ownership direction.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, Mayor Reed said that he had spoken with six potential buyers. He didn't elaborate on who they were. You know, we've had reports have been out there that Dominique Wilkins was interested in being a part of a group. We also don't know, you know, initial reports state that I think Levinson and a couple of other members of ownership are the ones that are going to sell, and it's like a 50.1% stake. The initial reports are Michael Guerin and the remaining guys aren't pursuing selling their stake. So we may be looking at another situation where it's less than ideal. I would personally like to see a clean slate. I don't know if that's even possible at this juncture. You know, it's going to be interesting this season rears on. We're going to have basketball to talk about, but this is going to be a running storyline. You know, there's no time frame for it. The commissioner hasn't said, the mayor hasn't said. You know, this may play all the way out into next summer, I would say. You know, I mean, we don't know. I mean, it could be over next week, but it's just like we said earlier, it's just wait and see, right?
This is the Section 357 show. We're talking with our main man, Chris Wills, covers Atlanta Hawks for the SB Nation. And Chris, let's kind of transition that into on the court product. Floyd talked about his biggest worry being how this affects the players. We had a Hawk team last year. They lose Al Horford pretty much for the year again. Eighth seed, they push the Pacers to a game seven. Now they bring in Tabo Cephalosha. You bring back a healthy Horford. Where does this Hawk team stand in relative? I guess let's start with the Southeast Division. LeBron leaves, goes back to Cleveland. And to me, this has kind of opened up everything, not only in the Southeast, but in the Eastern Conference at large. Where do the Hawks stand? Let's put the off-court stuff to the side. As a team, where do they sit, do you believe, right now?
Oh, that's a great question. And it's going to be fun to watch that play out. I mean, the East is it's still wide open. I mean, you got your favorites, you know, Cleveland, Chicago. Those guys are going to be up there. But, you know, you've got teams like Washington. You've got teams like Charlotte. All these guys are kind of make a move now. I think the Hawks are right in the middle of it. You know, they got to stay healthy. I mean, they can't afford to lose out an Al Horford, Jeff Teague, or Paul Millsap, or any guys like that for any length of time. I mean, you know, they were lucky to hang into the playoff picture last year, and if the East hadn't been so bad, they probably wouldn't have. But, you know, I think anywhere from a 6th seed to 4th seed is reasonable. Obviously, if they're banged up, you know, they could slide a little less than that. The Southeast Division that by itself is going to be intriguing because Washington's up and coming, but they've got expectations for the first time in a long time. They've committed to Randy Whitman, but there's a lot of pressure there if they get off word, get off to a slow start. Miami retooling, you know, Chris Bosh, can he be Toronto Bosh again? You know, how much does Dwayne Wade have left in the tank? Got a great coach in there at Spoelstra. And then Charlotte's probably the most intriguing team in the division, in my opinion. You know, you got Al Jefferson, you got a coach in Steve Clifford that just did a heck of a job last year. Lance Stephenson, you know, is Lance Stephenson going to be the difference maker for them positively or negatively? You know, that's the question, because if he's really, really good, they may be the surprise team in the conference. But if he's really, really bad, you know, they may be. So, you know, it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to just getting back to basketball and seeing where the Hawks can fall in there.
Now, Chris, I have to admit, I have been at times very critical of Jeff Teague. I know that I think this year Jeff Teague took another step forward in his development, but you talk about Coach Budenholzer bringing that system over from San Antonio, and it's very much dependent on team chemistry. And you talk about Tony Parker and Tim Duncan, of course, and Manu Ginobili. So looking at Jeff Teague, he hasn't played with Al Horford a lot in the past couple of years. Looking at also adding in a pretty strong supporting cast, if you will, when you even throw in Paul Millsap. So considering that this team does not have that quintessential star player, what has to happen between Millsap and Teague and Horford for the Hawks to make that similar to San Antonio type step forward to be a real legitimate contender?
Yeah, it's going to be to be a really good team or to be a true contender, I mean, I think that's almost two separate things. I think there's a lot of really good teams in the league, but I think true contenders, I mean, you look at this roster and you think, can this team win a championship? Well, you know, probably not as it's constructed. You're probably missing that key piece, you know, that big for the Spurs, you know, it was Tim Duncan. And maybe now, so it's more Tony Parker than it is anything. But I think the Hawks have a lot of improvement still left in this roster. You know, last year, defensively, they were pretty bad, especially after Horford went down. That's been one of my biggest criticisms on Jeff Teague, is that he's not really taken the challenge defensively, night in, night out. And I think Mike Budenholzer has already talked about that some. I think that's the reason they went out and signed Kent Bazemore and went out and signed a Thabo Sefolosha, is because they were very weak on the wing last year, particularly defensively. And that's going to be an area that there's a lot of room for improvement there. Obviously, you're already better if you can keep Horford very healthy for, you know, the bigger part of the season. Paul Millsap's underrated defender. I think that's the biggest area they can move up. They can really improve this year. Offensively, like you said, it was a period right after Horford went down. They had to figure out how to do things again. They compensated really by firing up a lot of more 3-point attempts. You know, they'll get Horford back in there. I think the efficiency will be better, and they'll still be a good 3-point shooting team that's not afraid to put them up. But, you know, I'm anxious, really anxious to see what happens defensively, and I'm really anxious to see how Teague plays on the defensive end of the floor.
Lloyd talked about the next step of Jeff Teague last year. He made some improvement and some progress near all-star level. Obviously, the health of Millsap Horford. But going back to that wing position, this is something we talked about actually. I remember this time last year, and it looks like we'll answer this question again. John Jenkins was a first-round pick. Lou Williams came in last year, got hurt. Jenkins didn't exactly grab a hold of that two-guard spot. which is why we got Kyle Korver and Damari Carroll. And Korver and Carroll actually played really well together. You talked about some of the weakness at the wing position. Is this it for John Jenkins? No teams will keep a first-round pick because they invested in it. But is this sort of the end for John Jenkins if it doesn't go well this year? You talked about the Cephalosha and Bazemore signing. Is this fish or cut bait for John Jenkins this year?
It probably is. That's one thing. Training camp gets started next week, and Mike Budenholzer said last week that Jenkins was feeling good heading into camp. He'd been playing in open gyms, which that's good news because if you saw him during summer league, you know, he couldn't. He had just been cleared. He was still not moving very well from off season, from back surgery, last season's back surgery. You know, it's going to be interesting. There's a lot. The Hawks have a lot of guards. You know, obviously we just talked about Cephalosha. He can play some three, which I think he'll play a lot of smaller forward here than he did in, obviously, in Oklahoma City. But Bazemore, you've got Shelvin Mack, you got Dennis Schroeder, you've got Teague there, you've got Korver. You know, where's John Jenkins fit? And he can shoot. He can shoot the basketball, and the Hawks love shooters. So, you know, he'll get his opportunity. That was one thing that they showed last year. You know, you might be out of the rotation for a little while, but your number will eventually get called again. And he's going to have to be ready when it does. And but I'm hoping the guy's healthy. He was one that I really liked, but I never thought he was healthy at all last year. He never looked comfortable on the floor. He never looked like the player he did the year before. And I just think I think that back injury was just something that he probably should have got looked at a lot sooner.
Well, Chris, as we wrap up, if you were to say that the Hawks emerged from some of these cloudy situations, what would have to happen to make that possible? Kind of give a blue sky perspective on all things kind of going right. Not perfect, but just things getting back on the right track if what happens for these Hawks.
I think obviously that starts at ownership level. You know, I think this franchise is vastly in need of a guy like Arthur Blank has been for the Falcons, where everything's positive. You know, everything appears to be heading in the right direction. You need a solid leader at the top. I don't have any idea what's going to happen with Danny Ferry. You know, one day I feel like he's coming back. The next day, I'm not so sure. I don't think anybody really knows yet, except maybe the guys on the interior, Steve Koonin, some of those guys. I hadn't talked about Koonin enough. I think, you know, what a hire that was at the midway or right before the playoffs last year. I mean, where would this franchise be right now without him? He's kind of taken up the face of the franchise. You know, I think it starts with ownership, though. You know, if you want a blue sky, you want to emerge from this stronger. You need a clean slate at that level. You need guys that are committed to keeping the Hawks in Atlanta, that are committed to putting a championship-level organization in place. You know, and I think the city will support it. But the city's been burned too many times. They've watched this ownership group trade for a guy like Joe Johnson and then splinter to complete the trade. You know, this is another the seedy part of this whole thing with Ferry is that a lot of it's rooted in two parts of the ownership group disagreeing with each other again, you know. And I mean, they need a fresh start from the top, and I think that would be the best case scenario. Now, I have no idea if that's going to happen, but that in my opinion is what the best case scenario for the franchise would be.
Chris, before we wrap up, we definitely want to make sure that you get all a chance to get your contact information and all that out there for the people. But I got to ask you one question. I saw the picture on Twitter of you, I guess, at the media basketball game, throwing the Jay Williams slick cross court pass. So how is your hoop game coming along? And you know, with the season coming about, do you get out a chance to play off? And I'm assuming not much because of the season. But how is your hoop game coming along? And how was the media basketball game?
Well, we were very disappointed. This year's media basketball game was scheduled right in the middle of all the turmoil, and it was canceled. So we haven't had that this year. But that clip you saw was from last year. But my basketball game, I would classify it as dying. I'll be 40 in December, and I don't get to hoop. Two ACL injuries in my past, and I don't get to hoop quite as much as I used to. But I still love to get out there and play with some guys when I have a chance.
Chris Willis of Peachtree Hoops. Chris, let all of the people know how they can keep up with you and follow all of the latest with the Atlanta Hawks.
You can check us out at PeachtreeHoops.com, part of the SB Nation Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris with a K, K-R-I-S underscore Willis. I appreciate you guys having me on. It's always fun. Always enjoy listening to the podcast.
Chris, it is always our pleasure to have you on, sir. And, of course, you are welcome back anytime. Thank you again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
Thanks to Chris Willis of PeachtreeHoops.com for spending some time with us to talk about the Atlanta Hawks. Last call for alcohol or something like it. Big Shot Ron, what do you have?
My last call is to Hawk ownership in this respect. Lloyd and I have talked about this over the years. Red and blue color scheme was a little dull. So one thing they have done right, they've gone back to the original Pac-Man logo, the red and yellow action. So I'm excited about that. That's my shout out to the Atlanta Hawks ownership on that front. Lloyd, what you got, man?
Big Shot Ron, you know me, man. As always, I want to give a big shout out to the fans. That is my last call for alcohol or something like it. It always goes to the fans for supporting us and supporting our show. You can always find us on Twitter at Section 357. Find us at Section357.com. And you can subscribe to and download the podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, as well as Podomatic. With that being said, good luck to you and your favorite teams out there, wherever you might be. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house. Until next time, take care.